So our next speaker is Dr. Trent Roberts from University of Arkansas. He is going to talk to us about a complicated nexus of soil fertility and soil health.
I appreciate everybody being here today. I think our last speaker, like myself, is probably an extension, right? Time doesn't really mean anything when you're an extension. You just keep talking until lunch is served. Just to give you a little bit of background, I am a soil fertility specialist. I work primarily in nitrogen dynamics in paddy, rice, soil types of systems in the Mid-South United States. A lot of the research that I do, focuses primarily on, ways to increase nitrogen use efficiency, ways to better understand the nitrogen cycle in our agroecosystems and production systems, and then ultimately, try to develop soil testing procedures or practices that can somehow help us identify, nitrogen mineralization dynamics and ultimately ways that we can better fertilize our crop. So I'm going to start with just a little bit of background information, go into, a brief kind of few comments that we've gotten regarding soil testing, soil health, some results, and then finally some conclusions. So within the state of Arkansas over the past 3 to 4 years, there's been a big increase in cover crop implementation and then ultimately a big increase in soil health. And I've attended a lot of meetings within the state as well as across the country. And, these are just some anecdotal type comments that you capture in talking with producers and other people. And in a lot of ways, from some of our producers in particular, I think there's a big disdain for soil testing or the idea of soil testing in the sense that they don't really understand what soil testing is, and so therefore they don't necessarily appreciate the numbers that they get on their soil test report, what those fertilizer rate recommendations mean. And so, a lot of questions I get are, why doesn't soil testing capture the nutrients that I apply? Another question or another statement, we've been very proactive about fertility, and our soil test levels never change over time. They tell us to apply phosphorus and that half of it's unavailable as soon as we apply it. Now, whether or not you agree with those statements, I think it says a lot about the attitude of some of our producers. And, when you're talking about the budgets that we're dealing with the past couple years and going into the future, the first place a producer looks to cut more often than not is fertility. And, in my opinion, being a soil fertility specialist, right, that's the last place we want to cut. And, this is the first semester that I've taught soil fertility to undergrads. And I will tell you, correlation and calibration is not an easy thing to understand if you haven't worked with it, your entire career. So I think from a producer standpoint, there are some things that we could do to help explain, what correlation and calibration is, and then ultimately, do a better job of selling soil testing. So one of the things that we kind of engaged in was a survey of Arkansas soils and regarding soil health. And what we tried to do was kind of capture a state of soil health in Arkansas. And what we did with that was we went out across the state and we tried to capture, our primary agricultural production systems in terms of soil textures and crop rotations. And then we also tried to capture some, let's say adjacent areas that had been natural, either natural prairies or forestry type of systems. And just for the purpose of this talk, the majority of our soils, if I can get the pointer to come up here, is going to be restricted to this light yellow area and this blue band here. And the reason that we primarily stuck to those areas are those are the primary row crop production areas of Arkansas. And that's mainly where a lot of this interest is going to be focused. So just a brief materials and methods. Soils were selected from the major agricultural soils and crop rotations and then adjacent natural areas. Soils were sampled to a 10-centimeter depth. We did 4 reps per location. I will mention that we used the 10-centimeter depth because that is the soil depth that's commonly recommended for our rice-soybean rotations and routine nutrient analysis. Each sample was split into 2 separate subsamples, and then what we did was we submitted samples to Woods End Lab and then various University of Arkansas testing services. So just to give you an overview of some of the procedures that were ran on those sets of samples, at Woods End Lab, they ran the soil health score, which in this talk will be abbreviated as just HSH. They looked at the Solvita CO2 burst, soluble C-10 ratio, water extractable organic carbon, and then water extractable organic nitrogen. And then the other suite of kind of indicators, including the SLAN, the H3A, water pH, LOI, and effective CEC. At University of Arkansas, what we wanted to do was garner the recommendations that would come out of our routine soil test lab in terms of phosphorus and potassium using the Malic 3 extract. We also got soil texture, total carbon and total nitrogen. And I want to talk briefly about NSTAR. NSTAR is a nitrogen-based or a soil-based nitrogen test that we've developed to give field-specific nitrogen fertilizer rate recommendations for rice. It's been correlated, calibrated, and actually has been validated across Arkansas, so we feel that it's a very good indicator of nitrogen fertilizer needs, at least for rice production in Arkansas. So just to give you some brief descriptive statistics of the 27 soils that were included in this study, you can see at the top we have the soil health score that ranged from 25.2 to 3.3 with an average of about 14.5. I'd like to move down here to the LOI, or kind of an indicator of organic matter. You can see there in Arkansas we range from 6.4 to 5.5 with an average of about 3.02. You can see our NSTAR soil test values and then some values for some of our phosphorus and potassium extract approaches. The one thing that I will say, which I really did not expect from this particular survey, was that the highest values for soil health, total nitrogen, total carbon, loss on ignition, and NSTAR, which are all kind of indicators of organic carbon and nitrogen dynamics in the soil, came from long-term continuous no-till rice production. So if you think about these particular systems, that you have a large amount of biomass production every year, you know, anywhere from, you know, 8 to 11,000 kilograms per hectare. If it's in a no-till system, you know, sometimes it might be burned to help with that residue management, but oftentimes it's just rolled and flooded for winter ducks and duck hunting. And so those particular systems are what came back the highest in a lot of these categories. When you go to some of these lower categories, you know, some of these were actually concentrated in some of our more productive row crop areas. They may not be the best soils, but they are still very productive in terms of overall yield and productivity. So one thing that we wanted to do was actually look at a comparison of the soil health score and NSTAR. And so one thing I would like to remind you, if you know anything about the soil health score, what it does is it basically uses 5 separate components and a calculation to give you a soil health score. And if you look closely enough, the 5 components that you measure in some way or another basically all measure the same thing. If you measure water extractable organic carbon and you measure water extractable organic nitrogen, those are typically going to be the same thing. So, you know, they're really just indicators of kind of carbon and nitrogen dynamics in soils. And so one thing that we found was that as we increased our NSTAR value, we obviously increased our soil health score. And you can see there's a fairly good statistically significant relationship there. So that begs the question, you know, is our soil health score indicative of nitrogen fertilizer needs or nitrogen availability to crop plants? So I'll give you another example. We have location A and location B, and so these two sites have actually been in long-term cover crop rotations for roughly about 10 years. They are located on the same agricultural experiment station. It's basically a field that's been split in half and managed differently for the past 10 years. So at location A, it's a mix of corn and Austrian winter pea. You can see the soil health score is a 4.37. Our yield maximizing in rate for this location is 120 kilograms of N per hectare. Our check plot grain yield was 10 megagrams of corn per hectare. Probably less than 200 or 300 feet from these plots, we find location B. So it's a corn cereal rye rotation. There were no statistical differences in this soil health value after 10 years of cover cropping and row crop production. You can see our yield maximizing in rate, almost double. Our check plot grain yield in this situation was 2 megagrams per hectare. And you can see kind of that visual representation of those two locations in the corn ears there at the bottom. So this kind of, you know, it doesn't necessarily confirm that soil health and nitrogen availability are not related. So we wanted to take it a little bit further. And what we tried to do is say, okay, well, we know that NSTAR is a viable predictor of nitrogen fertilizer needs for rice. So if we look at separate locations and we have confidence in the NSTAR value, maybe we can compare the soil health score and see if it will predict nitrogen fertilizer needs. So location one is a rice-soybean rotation. It's a sandy loam soil. It has one of the lowest soil health scores that we looked at. And the NSTAR nitrogen rate to maximize yield was actually 185 kilograms of N per hectare. If we go to location two, same rotation, it is a clay soil. Our soil health score was 22.2, but our NSTAR nitrogen rate to maximize yield was 218 kilograms of N per hectare. One thing that you probably don't know that I'll tell you is that, you know, as NSTAR values increase, we typically see decreased nitrogen fertilizer needs. But one thing that we've had to do in our correlation and calibration process for this test in Arkansas is we have to separate between our clay and our silt loam soils. That's one thing that the soil health score does not necessarily take into account. And so I think a lot of what we're seeing with this soil health score is driven by the soil texture and some of those inherent soil properties that do control things like organic matter, organic nitrogen, and those types of things. But I think there's a little bit more that we have to do to kind of answer this. Just to kind of bring this point home a little more, when we look at soil texture comparison, you know, our silt loams and sandy loams are going to tend to have lower, you know, organic and carbon levels, but they're also going to have lower season total N rates. Whereas with clay soils, they're going to tend to have higher carbon and nitrogen levels, but they're also going to tend to have higher season total N rates. You know, that's something that I think is common amongst silt loam versus clay soils across the country. So we wanted to look at the soil health score versus clay content. We have clay content as a percentage on the x-axis and soil health score on the y-axis. And essentially, I mean, there is a statistically significant relationship here. But what you get is you get a cluster of silt and sandy loam soils down here at the bottom, and then you get a cluster of clay soils up here at the top. To me, you know, from a soil testing standpoint, what that tells me is that I have to look at soil health in relation to soil texture. And so, you know, what I see and experience in a silt loam soil may not carry over and be accurate when looking at a clay soil. One last thing that we wanted to do is actually look at potassium fertilizer needs for soybean. And so the idea behind this was to essentially compare the potassium fertilizer recommendation using the H3A extractant versus our Malic 3 extractant. And so we are fairly confident or very confident that Malic 3 can predict potassium fertilizer needs for soybean in Arkansas. So if we look at the H3A results, 20 of the 27 sites predicted, that they would not require potassium fertilization. And of the seven sites that would require fertilization, that range was from 6 to 85 kilograms of K2O per hectare. When we used the Malic 3 and our current University of Arkansas recommendations, there were only 11 of the 27 sites that would not require fertilization based on that routine soil analysis. Unlike the H3A extractant, in Arkansas we used a stair-step categorical approach to fertilizer rate recommendations. And so three sites would have required 160 kilograms, six sites would have required 120, six sites would have required 60, and then one site would have required 50 kilograms of K2O per acre. So kind of to wrap up, things that we know, I think correlation and calibration is very important. I am a proponent of the soil health tool. I think that there are a lot of benefits that can be gained from increasing things like organic matter and, protecting the soil. I also think we know that long-term no-till can increase soil organic matter, but it's not always indicative of reduced fertilizer needs, especially when we start looking at things like nitrogen and potassium. I do think that we need to increase soil health and soil quality, but I also think there are some major limitations and restrictions in our production systems. If you look at the Mid-South United States or the Southeast, it can take us 7 to 10 years to increase soils 1% organic matter. All it takes is one bad year and one tillage operation, and that is all gone. And so at least in the Mid-South and the Southeast United States, we're dealing with a very different animal in terms of how to increase these soil health scores and maintain them over time. The last thing that I would like to do is thank my co-authors, Dr. Richard Norman, Dr. Nathan Slayton, Chester Grube, and Kelsey Hogenauer. And, of course, the Arkansas rice producers and the Arkansas Rice Checkoff that help support this research. I'll try to take any questions if you have one.